Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 356 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, once again. And hey, guess what today is? Not today that you're listening, but today that I'm recording. I am recording this episode 356 on February 22nd, 2023. And that, my friends, is the 7th year anniversary of The Law Entrepreneur. Yay! Can you believe 7 years of doing this podcast? And had you told me 7 years ago that we'd be here today, I would have said you're crazy. But here we are, 356 episodes and still going strong, thanks in large part to our listeners and to our sponsors and to our guests. And along those lines, let me introduce my guest for today, Kelsey Shumway. Now, Kelsey is the director of an outfit called the Repurpose House. And as you're going to hear, she is an expert on how to repurpose content, marketing content, whether it be video or audio, and repurposing it to get the bigger bang for your buck, so to speak, across social media channels and ultimately driving more clients to your front door. And who doesn't need more clients knocking on their front door? So I'm delighted to have Kelsey with us today on our 7th anniversary, The Law Entrepreneur, and I hope you enjoy this as much as I did speaking with her today. So without any further delay, here is Kelsey Shumway. Kelsey Shumway, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. Kelsey, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, my name's Kelsey. I am the director of sales and strategy for Purpose House. So my main goal is to talk to entrepreneurs of really all kinds about their content, about how they're missing some opportunities with that content, really the best ways to kind of show up on social. So I've been doing this for the last 6 years or so. I really focused heavily on people who were creating podcasts. And then, as you know, the way of the world has really shifted to creating so much video content. So jumped into that too. And in my work with entrepreneurs, I noticed so often the holes in which we could be showing up better or in different ways. And really, that's kind of what my entire career is about now, helping people kind of come up with better ways to do that, strategize a different way to show up and get better engagement on social, and help them kind of grow their business that way. So that's a little bit about me.
So the name Repurpose House kind of invokes a concept that content can be used in multiple, you know, avenues, multiple channels. Is that kind of where your focus is?
It is. It's exactly where our focus is. So often I hear, you know, when I'm creating this content, you know, it's kind of like getting stuck on this hamster wheel, right? I'm creating this content. I'm putting it across these channels. I'm not seeing engagement. So I'm creating new content. I'm attempting to do this process all over again. And when you do that and you don't kind of go through the long form content you're creating, pull out these really important little highlight reels, you're really missing a lot of opportunities and leaving a lot of great content on the table. So what Repurpose House steps in and does is we get to go through that content for you. Doesn't matter how long it is, we'll go through it, pick the best portions out, add some things to these new assets to help them perform better on social, and then we even can take it as far as posting it for you across all your different channels. That's really how we help out.
Okay. Sounds great. Now, you know, the challenge I hear most often articulated by attorneys, particularly when it comes to video content, is, well, first off, I admit to this. This was me, right? I knew exactly what I wanted to do and how to do it, and there wasn't anything keeping me from doing it, except I kept saying, you know what? I'm going to wait till I lose that 10 pounds first.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I want to look better on camera.
Sure.
And then, you know, one thing led to another. That didn't quite happen the way, okay, well, get over that. Get over yourself. Let's get on with making the content. And then, you know, well, I have to think about my content calendar. I'm going to have to plan this out a little bit and, you know, procrastinate. So anyway, the point is that there's a lot of ways to put it off. And finally, you know, I have to say, just turn the camera on and get started.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter how bad it is to start with, you'll get better. And that's what I've done.
Totally.
And that's what I think most people do. I guess the question I get most often is, what can I do to make it interesting or to enhance the potential for it to be seen? Because I feel like I'm making all this content and it's just sitting out there in the wilderness and nobody's here to cut tree for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of different ways, and I would really challenge people, especially like you mentioned, when it comes to creating video content, people love learning from other people. People don't love learning from brands. So associating a face with a name is going to be one of the best things that you can do for your business. And I would definitely suggest, even if you have an iPhone or a smartphone in your pocket, people love video that looks very natural. You know, people think that I need to go out and buy all of these nice pieces of equipment to do this, and really, what I see working best on social are these videos that come off incredibly authentic, like somebody pulled out their phone, decided that this was important to share with their audience and move forward. And just talk, you know, I think a lot of the times the strategy people employ when it comes to social is, you know, to be on social and to continue to show up, I have to be omnipresent. I have to be posting all the time. And that's just not the truth. Ultimately, what does make sense is that you create this content, you find ways to get it in front of your right audience. And that doesn't mean just showcasing it one time. That means potentially going through it, cutting it up, sharing it in a different format. Maybe it's audio content you're turning into video, or you're writing blogs and turn that into video content for social. The first step is just really kind of showing up. But when it comes to getting better engagement or getting better strategies as to how to get that to play out better, a lot of the times when I speak to people, they're tired of being on the content creation hamster wheel. I'm tired of creating content. I feel like nobody sees this. I feel like I'm just kind of shouting into a void. And it's like that sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the goal for anybody. But there's so much that goes into it from a digital marketing perspective, in the sense of, when are you posting? How are you posting this? What are you writing? What hashtags and keywords and SEO components? It can feel really challenging at first. That's honestly one of the things I hope to take off my clients' plate moving forward. It's just really kind of simplifying that. But my suggestion would be to start creating this content, find the really great pieces out of it that you think that your audience really wants to hear. You know, as lawyers, what are the frequently asked questions you get? When somebody comes in, I'm sure it's confusing. The law process isn't always simplified for people who are coming in looking for lawyers. How do we find their frequently asked questions and create content that answers it before they even come in my door?
Yeah, that's always the challenge. And there's a lot of tools out there. We've talked about them on the program, and something as simple as doing a Google search and looking at the related search terms is a really cheat code for, you know, coming up with
what people are
searching for, that kind of thing. Do you advocate having a different type of video dependent on the channel? And the question, they're focusing on, like, I create, and I know others, create one type of video to post on my website in a video FAQ, but in an entirely different type of video to post on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you advocate that?
I advocate showing up, right? And if it feels challenging to you to create those, like, multi-facets, I'd suggest we don't, right? Let's just get that content present and at least give people multiple channels and venues of finding you. Where I see there needs to really be a difference in what you're creating for social is in the copy aspect. What am I captioning? The captions need to be a little bit different due to performance. LinkedIn specifically really likes the long form content or the long form copy written underneath the video. So that's a benefit to doing that there. Facebook and Instagram do not. So if we're thinking about how do I get performance out of this one asset I have the time to create, that's how I would make those changes, I think.
Yeah, interesting. I like that.
You also, you brought up a really good point a second ago about wanting to kind of look on blogs and look for ways to kind of come up with content. You know, you gave a good cheat code, but another one is just, what is your competition doing, right? Yeah. What are they answering? How are they doing it? You're a different lawyer. You're in a different law firm. You are in a different space entirely. And I'm sure your spin on it is going to be entirely different. I'm sure legally the same, but potentially different. And to not give your two cents is also another missed opportunity that I think people could avoid.
Yeah. And we draw on our own cases, you know, shield the identities to protect the clients, but there's always lessons to be learned. I do estate planning, and, you know, I let off a video the other week with every family has a story, and sometimes that story isn't a good one.
Sure.
You know, yeah. So and that was drawn, you know, from real life experiences occurring that week. So there's always something. In my opinion, there's always something to find to talk about. I had a mentor one time that said, can't think of what to, you know, record about. Sit there and tap your pencil on the desk until it comes to you. Because it doesn't take a lot of a lot of effort in that respect. Now, I know that one of the things that people do is they make the videos, they get them posted up on YouTube and link them over to their social media channels and their websites, yeah, that kind of thing. And then sit there and watch the YouTube viewing statistics.
Sure.
As if it were the stock market ticker.
Yeah, I know.
Totally. I'm wondering why, you know, 80% or 90% of their target audience isn't watching their video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you say to them when they say, why isn't anybody watching it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people forget that the algorithms on all platforms reward people who are posting consistently. So it's not enough to just get that one video up once a month and then showcase it to all your social. Sure, you're still going to get views because I'm assuming you have some form of an audience. But the algorithm really gives that preferential treatment to the people who are posting consistently. And again, a lot of people don't want to create consistent content. So again, that's my push for repurposing your long form content. But I would invest my time for people who are very interested in getting more views on YouTube. I would want to be posting more consistently. I would also want to be kind of doing a revamp of the keywords, hashtags, or the kind of SEO components you're applying underneath that video. Since YouTube is owned by Google, to make those videos as searchable as possible only benefits you, because when people go to Google, search for the things you're talking about, you want to kind of show up in the top. And again, to be able to do that, not only do we need to make sure the hashtags and keywords are applicable to the video and they're kind of in trend with the top performing ones, but also that YouTube sees, okay, this is something this person is speaking about pretty consistently and posting pretty regularly on, that's when that preferential treatment starts to begin.
Yeah. And what about recycling content? You know, a lot of times we make an announcement on our Twitter channel or Facebook channel. And that's the only time, when the video gets published or video, because, and that's the only time we ever mention it.
Yeah.
And I know for the podcast here, we use a different service that recycles the episode announcements over and over again over the course of time forever.
Yes. And you should, right? Because the way of the world, people are just not, unless you're coming to a podcast to specifically listen to all of these long form episodes, the likelihood of finding somebody on social media and getting them to stop their day to watch this hour long video is incredibly unlikely, right? So not only is it important to kind of stay in front of them, so hopefully you're reaching them at a time where they do have the available, you know, time span to listen to that. But I also, in terms of recycling, I think how you better get this content in front of people's eyes is that you condense it, you shorten it down, you pull the little bits out of there or the, you know, people tend to speak in, you know, quotes, right? You want to pull those really important quotes that you say in that long form content out, get those in front of people, get them intrigued about what you're talking about in that episode, and then hopefully route them back using good copy to that long form episode. But you're creating so much content and the likelihood of it being pretty evergreen is high, right? So to not go back through that content, to not find ways to get that back in front of people is another missed opportunity. And those are the things I want to help people avoid. And I think that's what you're kind of talking about. Even if it's just showcasing those titles more than one time, I think it's not only a missed opportunity, it's honestly a necessity to be doing.
Yeah, let's think about it. You know, you create a video, you've got great content there. You've got a great title, you got a great hook. You know, the copy is phenomenal, and you blast out on social media, hey, I got this new video, here it is, and it's you click on it and see the video, and a week from now, that tweet, that Facebook post, that LinkedIn post is long since gone.
Sure.
And if you don't keep posting it, I mean, the content hasn't gone away.
No,
the content's just as relevant a week later as it was a week ago.
Yep.
And so you need to find a way to constantly get that out in order to redirect your audience back to the video.
Right. Well, totally. And you just think, you know, out of your entire day, out of all the roles you play in life, I'm sure content creator doesn't, you don't, I love when people have that as like kind of the top priority, but it very rarely can be, right? We play so many roles in life, and to not have that recycled, to not push that back in front of people, especially when you've invested your time, resources, potentially your team's time and resources to create content like that, definitely not the best way to utilize social. It's definitely not the best way to utilize your content.
Or your time.
No, exactly. Or your team's time. Yeah.
Right. Because the pushback that we get is, oh, boy, gee, Kelsey, I don't have time to do
right.
that.
Right.
I'm barely getting the damn video made.
Yeah.
Or recorded. But you want me to cut it up and post it multiple times, and I can get some help. I got that. You know, people helping me, and maybe even come to a service like yours. But and I would argue that if you don't do all of that, you are wasting your time. You've set yourself up for failure.
I agree.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, LexiClara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com.
It's really two kinds of mentality. Ultimately, your goal is to show up on social, right? Are you wanting to stay on the hamster wheel of content creation over and over and over, putting this out one time and using your resources, your time, your talent to do that? Or I'm going to put my bet on the fact that in that content, you've probably said two or three incredible things that if I cut out, put on socials, not only would help route back to that long form content, which is your goal, you want people to see that, but it also is a better utilization of that time you initially did or you spent to create that. So yeah, I think it's a necessity, really. I don't think it's optional anymore to be catering to an audience that prefers short form content.
Or one and done.
Yeah, true. It's
so
true.
What about repackaging stuff? Taking your content and making new products from it?
Yeah, a lot of the times we have kind of a system here at Repurpose House called 7x7, and it really is intended to kind of dive into all the ways you can take your content and repackage it. A lot of the times what it all starts with is a quick video, right? How do we take this video, turn it into a podcast, and then potentially turn it into shorter videos for social, and then maybe potentially create a blog out of it, and then an email blast? All that's totally fine. And I think people lose sight of that. You know, people want to take in content in different places. If you have somebody who would rather read this content, to not find a way to repackage that into a blog or into an email blast to them, missed opportunity. To not find ways to show up on social with this content you've already created, missed opportunity. I think in terms of repackaging it, I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. I think we just need to find a way to get the wheel to go to all of these places. And it should be easy, basically, in my mind, because we're taking the same thing and just potentially transcribing it, potentially just cutting it up. But I really don't think it's time consuming, sure, but it's not complex. And I think ultimately it's a really good idea to repackage your content that way.
I spend countless hundreds of hours watching guitar videos.
Sure.
As a budding musician. And one of the things that I've noticed about all the folks that I follow in that space is that they do a really good job of creating playlists. Individual videos that they've done and collecting them under one, you know, topical area, a playlist, if you will, to help guide their viewers through a series of videos. And I think that's a really interesting way that attorneys haven't exactly, including myself, haven't tapped into creating video playlists that take your audience back through videos that you did before that they
exactly
not otherwise have, you know, searched for or found.
Right. No, and you're talking about one of the biggest hacks that you could do on YouTube, getting double the views off the same content. How do I create a playlist that's topic based and then drop these short form videos in there, get people excited to or interested in watching the long form, routing them from that video to the long form video, and then getting them to watch both? Right? Best case scenario. I think playlists are a really great opportunity for people to get more eyes on their content. YouTube Shorts is also a phenomenal way to do it. YouTube has launched a new platform. It's a shortened video sharing platform. It's on YouTube, but basically what it allows for are these shortened 60-second videos that are very similar to kind of what you would see on TikTok or Reels. And those are getting incredible engagement rates. There are more people utilizing YouTube Shorts at a given time than there are people utilizing TikTok. So create a playlist, absolutely. But look for those opportunities too. I'm already creating this video content. YouTube Shorts is allowing me to post it there too. And if I know YouTube is really pushing for people to watch these shortened videos, let me get my shortened videos there as well.
Yeah, perfect example. I mean, again, with my guitar videos that I watch, every last one of them are now in shorts.
Sure.
And so you'll see a short, and you can tell if you pay attention to the channel that they've pulled that short from longer videos.
Right. It's that Gary Vee model that everybody says, you know, how does this man create this much content? It's insanity. He does it. He really does it. He just finds really great ways to repurpose it. And that's the best thing you can do if you want to show up on social and don't have the time to be in front of your phone recording videos 24/7.
Are there things that we do that are counterproductive? I mean, kind of sabotaging the process?
Sure, there definitely is. You know, not doing hashtag keyword SEO research, not taking the time to look for what those should be, huge missed opportunity. I also see a lot of people say, oh God, I got to get a video up this week. I have time to maybe post it at 5 a.m. on my way taking my kids to school. That's also not a great idea, but the social platforms, there's so many apps that tell you, here's how to monitor when the apps are best performing, and then get a scheduling tool to post it, you know? A lot of the times people think scheduling tools can kind of dock your performance, but, you know, testing the different tools you could utilize, we use a couple here too, could benefit you in not only saving you the time of having to do that at 5 a.m., but also get you better performance on the video because you are sabotaging yourself posting that early just to be able to show up on social. You're not really doing it though. You know, people aren't on, people aren't utilizing the platform at that time. And then by the time they're awake or ready to be consuming this content, your post is buried under how many others? Right? So those are two big ways. I'd say not adjusting copy is a really big missed opportunity. People want to write it one time and call it a day. But like I said, that's not always best performing across every platform. So to not do that, again, is something that I wouldn't suggest doing either.
So how do we get all of this done? So I mentioned, you know, you can create the process and systems on your own. I do a lot of it. I have to admit, I don't do all of it.
Sure.
I do a lot of it in different ways, using different platforms and different resources. So tell you guys a little bit about, you know, how they may go about achieving these objectives and ultimately either on their own or using a service such as
Repurpose. Yeah. Shameless plug. This is what we do. Exactly. But, you know, so many times I talk to clients who want this to happen, they attempt to outsource, which is an option, right? They attempt to tack this work on to potentially somebody in their marketing team, which is also a possibility. But what I'd recommend when anybody looks at potentially creating a service like this is to hire somebody who understands digital marketing and also what's trending on social. Because, and again, hiring might not be the best choice. That's when you could outsource. But ultimately, what you're looking for to create a system and process where this can be possible, find somebody who understands how to adequately take what you're saying, get a creative enough spin on it where it will start performing with audiences, understand the social algorithms enough to know what and when and where these assets will perform, and then have them utilize your video to show up on all of those places. It's not enough to really just, in my opinion, tack it on to somebody's workplace because it really is a specialty. I want your content to not only have a longer shelf life, I want to pull it from the archives and get more eyes on it and utilize it to help you achieve the goals you're having now. So I would suggest always looking for somebody who understands the end game, not so much the processes. I know it needs to perform well on social. I know it needs to draw in an audience. I know I need to take advantage of when the platforms are best performing. All of that stuff are things, you know, we train on at Repurpose House day in and day out. But for people who I've seen successfully do this on their own, they have people who genuinely understand digital marketing, furthermore, social media, and are consistently training on how to do that.
Well, I usually tell people, do it yourself.
See what it takes. Right.
See what it takes to find out what you don't know.
And, absolutely.
And then you're better positioned to go and find somebody who does know what to do and how to do
sure.
it better than you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think part of the problem is not, if we don't have hands-on understanding of what this takes, we lack the appreciation for the results that a professional can generate.
Well, and I also don't think it's the best utilization of your time, right? Your attempt is, if your goal is to grow a business, you diving into the necessities of keywords on YouTube and spending your days researching that, you know, I don't necessarily think is the best utilization of your time. It's why so many people outsource this work. But I totally think you're right. If it's something you want to attempt to do, I definitely think taking the time to understand those ins and the outs and really look at what you understand from not only your content standpoint, but the social standpoint, and pull resources from the bucket of which you don't know, right? That's the only way to do it, I think.
So how would somebody go about working with your company?
Yeah, what we tend to do is do a pretty deep dive before we even meet on the kind of content you're creating, because I don't want to meet with you and pitch you. I want to give you better strategies. So what I tend to do is go through your content, see where we're having some holes in the way we're showing up. Maybe it's consistency. Maybe it's copy. Maybe it's times you're posting. There are so many, you know, like on YouTube specifically, are you utilizing thumbnails? You know, YouTube Creator Academy tells us that 90% of the best performing videos on YouTube and across all other platforms are ones that utilize thumbnails. And again, that's another thing that you need to create and spend time doing. And is that something that you have happening, right?
What do you use thumbnails?
Some people just don't have the time. They think the auto-generated ones will be sufficient, and it's not. You don't get performance utilizing those. So that's where I start. I want to do a deep dive because I want to give you strategy ideas on this call. And then I want to talk about how I take this off your plate, right? My team has the full capabilities to go through your content. It doesn't matter if it's 30 minutes or 3 hours. Pick the best parts, create new assets for you 1 to 5 times a week. You totally get to decide. And then we can go so far as to get it up on social with copy and hashtags and across all platforms for you. I think the benefit of utilizing a service like ours too is that you really kind of get this omnipresence utilizing the content you've already created. There's really no additional work other than you giving us guidance as to what you want for purpose. You're kind of hands off from there. So that's how we step in. And that's really how I'd suggest, you know, if this is not something you want to invest your time in doing, you find a resource to be able to do all of that as well.
Well, I think it sounds pretty intriguing, Kelsey. Tell our audience how they may reach out to you if they feel similarly.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to meet with anyone from your audience. You can head to our website, repurposedhouse.com. There's not only a ton of examples and a lot of statistics of ways we've helped clients in the past and the assets we've created for them. You can also learn more about our packages and how we've worked with people as well. Schedule a demo. You'd get to meet with me. I'd be able to walk you through kind of the strategy I'd think you'd better employ. And also for anybody who comes in from your podcast, they get 15% off for their first 2 months to work with us. And that code should be coded. Yeah, no, of course. Should they go to my website, understand kind of the gist, that code is TLE15. So it's just a good thing to have in your back pocket. We'll apply it on the call we're on too. So just wanted you guys to have that.
Awesome. Well, we'll include that in our show notes. That's very kind of you. And I think it's a great opportunity because all these platforms and the industry have matured to the point now where rolling your own, so to speak, is really not feasible. And you have to have a comprehensive approach across the platforms that you choose. It can't just kind of be homespun. It's just not going to be efficient that way. So I think it makes for a really good opportunity for those in the legal space to take a look at someplace like Repurpose House. And I'm delighted to share that with our audience and thrilled to have you with us today. Oh, by the way, got to mention, today is the 7th year anniversary of The Law Entrepreneur. 7 years ago, we had our first episode, and today's episode here, episode 356, represents 7 years on the air, so to speak, trying to address that question of what they didn't teach us in law school about running a business. They certainly didn't teach us anything about making video content and repurposing it across the web. So,
right. Well,
delighted to have you on today, Kelsey.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
Best of luck and hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for
years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.